Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Joining you in the studio tonight, it is Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
Well, you probably heard Trump said over the weekend that he's likely to be arrested on Tuesday. So
it's the circus, man. The trans thing people are already tired of. Mm-hmm. So they've got to trot out something new for people to focus on instead of the economic collapse happening around us.
I don't even know why somebody would get alerted 4 days before that they were going to get... I've never heard of that happening. Oh, you're going to get arrested in 4 days.
He's connected, you know? He's not like the Crypto Six where they show up at 6 a.m. and pound on your door or smash in your windows and then fly a drone in your house while pointing guns at you. No, he gets the heads up through his attorney. Somebody told, somebody in the DA's office said... Yeah, you just need to make sure your client's ready. We're going to come and arrest him on Tuesday. They give him a heads up. It's just.
But at that point, when I just let him, come bring himself in, they figure at that point the arrest is just a formality.
It is.
So why?
I'm sure it's going to be like a calm, like they just get him to come with them type thing. Because like even his house was quote unquote raided, it wasn't like the Crypto Six, like you said. It was more like
they just showed up and that was it. It was broad daylight when they raided his house
and they just looked through it.
Yeah, this just goes to show that when you have the special privilege or whatever of being connected with the state, they do you some favors. And so, it wouldn't surprise me if he just turned himself in on Tuesday rather than even having them come to his house. I don't know if he's in New York right now or if he's in Florida. Obviously, if he's in Florida, they're going to need to extradite him.
And this is related to Stormy Daniels, right?
Wait, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that's supposedly what this is in reference to. Now, we haven't seen the indictment yet.
What did she claim? Like, did she claim she was raped by him? Or?
No, I don't know all the details.
She received hush money from him, and something about that hush money has turned out to not have been legal, according to the DA.
So she's not the one, pressing charges.
No,
it's something
she'll
else.
Be a witness, presumably, in this particular case. And
it takes two to commit a crime like that involves hush money. So
well,
if Trump is guilty,
cooperate.
So is she.
Well, she's just the recipient of some money. I mean, I don't think she's going to be found guilty of anything. It would be.
I don't think she's going to get charged, but I'm saying she should be.
It's her. It's Trump's attorney at the time who's now against Trump, who turned on Trump. This guy, Cohen, Michael Cohen, who went to jail, apparently, or went to prison for some time over whatever charges he got hit with for doing business with Trump. And now he's turned completely on Trump and will do whatever he can to bring him down. So presumably Cohen would have been charged as a co-conspirator in these charges, but because he's cooperating, they're not going to go after him for this one. So anyway, we're going to learn more about it as time goes
on. It's all silly to me. And I think it's being deliberately portrayed as related to the January the 6th thing. It's obviously not. It's related to Stormy Daniels, but that little detail seems to be getting buried underneath all of the other details about the arrest, and he's expecting the indictment. They don't often stop to mention, oh, by the way, this has nothing to do with January the 6th. They just sort of let that assumption hang out there unaddressed.
I just assumed it had something to do with when his house got raided, like that paperwork he took or
apparently
whatever.
Apparently not. That was federal. So this is going to be a Manhattan, New York local charge,
even
not
less
federal.
Reason for him to be like, everybody should protest. No offense, I don't know why I said no offense, but it's not that I think that it's a good thing to get arrested or whatever. But why would any of the American people put their lives on the line to protest you like spending money incorrectly?
Well, and how many? I guess the protest in this case would be that, oh my God, they've arrested a president, because that's never happened before.
Yeah,
no,
but
president
like he can't be arrested if he actually gets found to be doing something wrong. I'm not saying he did.
Obviously, he could be arrested, but it's never happened before.
It's going to set a dangerous precedent going after former presidents.
I think I'm fine with it, honestly.
I am too.
I mean,
but
whatever they should.
Dangerous isn't the word I should.
They can
have
carve themselves up. They can fight with themselves all they want to. The more they fight with themselves, the less time they have to fight.
My
with
question
us.
Is just like if it was something like the January 6th, and he was going to get arrested for inciting violence that day, something like stupid like that, I could see more of a reason why people would protest. But if it's like just because he got arrested about anything, that's just weird.
Well, I honestly don't agree. As I'm looking at this, I think everyone is making, the media and the people who want to see him arrested, I think they're making a very bad mistake.
the more important story is what's going on with the banking situation in the United States. And I realize we've been hitting this pretty heavy in the last week, but it's honestly the most important story right now besides the potential for World War III.
It's probably going to affect people more than anything else other than World War III. This crap with Donald Trump being indicted, the one that's filling the mainstream media right now, it's not going to affect you.
Yeah, it means nothing. Whether he gets to run for president or not is completely immaterial as to what happens in your life in the imminent future.
Because even if he runs for president and he becomes president, it's still not going to have any impact on your life. My life didn't change at all going from Donald Trump to Barack Obama. I mean, whoever's president now, they're interchangeable to me. Who's Biden? Biden's president. Guy. My life didn't change at all, and it wouldn't change going from Biden to Trump again.
Like
Trump.
Well, some say that Obama is actually in charge and Biden is just like
a puppet.
Yeah,
I almost wish that were true because I don't know. Do
They're
I wish that
bad.
Were true?
No, it doesn't make any difference.
Obama was a better speaker.
I don't know why
least.
Obama wouldn't have just ran himself though, because he could have. Oh wait, because he can't
two
run
terms.
Again. I forgot.
Yeah,
I was gonna say because he could have won, but yeah, he won two terms.
Well, there's rumor that Michelle might be running next. Or Michael.
That's good. We need a trans president.
Yeah. She does look pretty manly.
Obama did call her Michael once. I mean, I've never
really?
Slipped up and said Ianana or something. Yeah. You know? Oh, I'm
Ianya.
Ianya.
Ianya. Yeah, I don't know. If there was a better one that was like more like a female name that is associated with the name Ian, it would make more sense. But I've just never done that before.
Right.
I mean, it's rare to call someone by the wrong name anyway. It's not impossible, right? And it does happen. But like
my wife, Michael.
Yeah. To use a male version or an opposite gender version of a very similar name, it'd be weird. Like, what's up, bruh? It's Tabani or something. It's weird.
It could have. The only thing I can think of, maybe he wasn't really thinking much about what was coming out of his mouth, and he was just reading the teleprompter. He had other things on his mind. He saw the name Michelle, and he said Michael.
Was it a speech? Where
I don't know.
Okay, so we don't know if he had a teleprompter.
He'd be cooler if he was married to a Michael. That's all I'm saying. Unless she's trans, in which case, I mean, it's pretty cool. It's hard to beat that.
He's not cool. He's a politician.
And she shouldn't be president, whether she's trans or not. I'm being facetious, of course.
By definition, not cool at all.
One thing that makes me so sad when one of my favorite celebrities do it is when they try to make a politician seem cool. And
it's
just the most annoying thing.
All they got to do is get like Jimmy Fallon and Ariana Grande sing a song with them.
Oh, God. It's terrible.
It's perfect.
Ugh. I hate when that happens. I hate when Lady Gaga is all like
political.
She does this like annoying. She morphs into Stephanie Germanotta and is an annoying theater kid again and acts like she like loves Hillary Clinton or Biden.
Didn't she sing at Biden's inauguration?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really annoying.
How do these people sleep at night? Right? Like, I wouldn't be able to perform for Joe Biden or any of these. I could probably see myself doing a concert for, like, Ron Paul. Maybe. I mean.
Okay.
He's got to agree to stop letting people attach his names to racist newsletters. Mm. Other than that, I could see myself doing that. But Ron Paul's also a rare exception.
Right.
If Rand Paul came to me, I'd be like, no, dude, get lost. No. And probably Thomas Massey, as good as he is, I wouldn't do it just because they're not good enough.
Nope.
I mean, the only thing about it, too, is just like, not only is like, Lady Gaga is obviously my favorite artist, so that's what I'm using the example
I
of.
I thought it was Taylor Swift.
No, I hate her.
I'm just trolling her.
One thing I hate is just whenever she gets all America in general. Like, America is not cool. Like, and the thing is, you know, a celebrity doing that is trying to make it cool. Like, people already think Lady Gaga is cool. So, let's put some America clothes on her and then have her sing.
Well, she's a tool. I mean, just like the rest of these people, they're all tools for the status quo to promote, you know, the state.
That's why I sold her ticket when I had one, because I decided I am no longer going to support.
No, that was hard for you to do.
Dominators. That's what I have decided.
Lady Gaga at least knows what she is, though. She's upfront about it. She knows she's a commodity. Mm-hmm. Commodity being, you know, sold to the American public. She's upfront about that. I can at least respect that, even if I don't approve of it.
So, First Republic Bank is this number three, right? So you've got Silicon Valley Bank that went down. That was the second largest bank failure of all time. Then you got the Signature Bank that sort of went down, but was forced to by regulators, quote unquote, to protect investors or depositors, some BS excuse.
It's all very vague.
But they went down and they were the third largest, apparently. And now you got the next one in line is First Republic Bank.
There's only one question here that matters as far as I can tell. What is this bank's ties to crypto? Because all of
none that I'm aware of.
All of the allegations that libertarians have been making and crypto enthusiasts about how the government's targeting these banks because they're crypto friendly. Well, let's see.
It seemed that way. And maybe that was part of what was going on. But and maybe it also just happened to be because Silicon Valley Bank wasn't a crypto bank per se. It was just a tech bank. It was tech bros and startups and venture capitalist funds, some of which may have investments in crypto, but it wasn't like per se a bank that was targeting crypto as far as accounts were concerned. That was Signature Bank that went down. But First Republic is just one of those banks that's doing the same crap that these other banks are, with it, which is to say they buy a bunch of government bonds last year before the interest rates got hiked, making government bonds that they bought a year ago worth less than government bonds that they would be able to buy today. And so they're underwater, basically, as far as when customers start coming in asking for their money back, they can't provide it to them because they're all tied up in these long-term bonds, and it's just creates this mess.
Government bonds are like the worst investment ever.
But they see them as a sure thing.
There's no such thing as a sure thing.
Well, with the government bond, that's true. There is no such thing as a sure thing. But as long as the federal government exists, they're going to keep paying on their treasury bonds, because to not pay on the treasury bonds would be instantaneous, like, financial calamity.
And for a bank to admit that a treasury bond wasn't a sure thing would be to admit that they basically shouldn't exist.
That the bank shouldn't exist or the treasury bonds shouldn't exist?
The bank. Because their entire existence is based on the government existing.
Fair points.
As they stand, yes.
Yeah, because they're on dollars. I'm not saying of a bank, but American dollar banks.
Yeah, a bank could exist if they actually were responsible with people's money, and then they could actually have your money in a vault, and you could go anytime to get it out, and it wouldn't be a problem.
So mega profitable.
We got Greg on the line. He's in New York. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, just to the previous point, though, you know, PayPal does, in fact, tell you you can't have your money. And there's many, many vendors on the seller side that had their money frozen by PayPal and said, well, too bad.
Yeah, Aria had her whole account deleted by PayPal.
Yeah, but it's not because they don't have your money, because they've loaned it out to someone. It's for other reasons.
Sure. But I like it when it's your money, like not your keys, not your crypto. You know, you give it to a third party, and then that third party can do all kinds of stuff. Anyway, I'm calling because I am pretty pessimistic, and the banking crisis is just like in third place. It's not even the main thing.
Okay.
We've talked about the banking crisis. Yeah, your bank might actually go belly up, and then the U.S. government has to print more money, and there will be BRICS, you know, against the U.S. government as an alliance against U.S. hegemony around the world, because countries like Sri Lanka and others ran out of dollars and they're being squeezed. But that's not the worst thing. The second worst thing is that, well, now Stanford has created a ChatGPT with Facebook's large language model, Llama, and
LRN.FM.
Broadcast radio, Greg, when I have to put you on hold here for a moment, I'll let you finish the thought.
That's rare for him.
In a moment. Yeah, it is pretty rare. Greg, please do watch your language here.
Sorry. I forgot that it contains that word in it.
What were you going to say there? You have to restate whatever you just said.
I was saying Facebook Llama is a large language model, and it actually was leaked, and now everybody has it. So I'm a big proponent of open source, but giving everyone nuclear weapons or killer bots is where I might actually be a little hesitant.
See, I think that's the only way for these things to exist. The only way for nuclear weapons to exist is if every individual has the right and capacity to own one. Otherwise, you only have some people who have them, and those people have the biggest, most powerful guns, and they're ultimately the ones you can't challenge.
Okay, so what is the problem with people having access to AI?
Well, the only problem is that now this AI can be swarmed, which means that you can control 1,000 bots, go into any form, and basically destroy it. You can also shout down people, you can destroy their reputation, turn their friends against them, and so on, by essentially generating a lot of crap. Can I say crap?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. But you can do this now. There are bot forms already that one can use to trust someone's reputation online or fill forms.
Or you can
whatever.
Hire some Chinese or Indian guys, and they'll do it too, right? So, I mean, maybe it will put it in the hands of some people for a lower price, I suppose. But it's not new.
There are also other things that I don't want to say on the air that mm-hmm. to give people ideas. But you can do a lot with AI that's really destructive that previously was only available to very wealthy organizations.
Okay, but well, you knew this was coming, right? Like we knew that they were trying to keep the cat in the bag. You got this group called OpenAI, which is not open at all. They're not open source. They don't share their code. You got Google. They're definitely keeping their code on lock. You got Microsoft. They're involved with ChatGPT, which is OpenAI. So, I mean, your point here is that there's these multi-billion-dollar companies that have access that have been, until this point, the sort of exclusive gatekeepers for this chat AI technology that has been, in many ways, very disappointing to those of us who have actually tried to explore the potential for these chat tools and finding certain questions unanswerable or blocked or restricted or whatever. And now you're saying somebody leaked the code of one of these majors and it's now out there. How do people find this?
The weights of the Llama model from Facebook have been leaked.
Mm-hmm.
There's already been a large language model with 186 billion parameters. It was given out. It's called Bloom mm-hmm. a year ago, but nobody really paid attention. But now with Facebook Llama, everyone loves it. And it has it's like Stable Diffusion. It has, you know, ChatGPT has a Stable Diffusion moment now. Yep.
You know, as Conan would have pointed out, one of our previous co-hosts on Tuesday nights, he believes that this has been going on with robots posting on the internet since as far back as 2016, that a good portion of internet posts are actually bots in the first place. So you're just saying that that may be getting worse, it may be getting more prolific, and I gotta agree, I would not want to be spending my time talking to bots that I didn't know were bots, but how are you going to tell the difference? You know, so this ChatGPT is pretty damn intelligent seeming, and it's going to be able to fool people pretty easily. So,
well, you could tell that Aaron Day's rap was a AI rap the other day.
I didn't ask him to confirm that, but yeah, I mean, it seemed like it was. Anyway, Greg, I mean, I'm glad that you're letting us know about this because I think it's great news.
If you don't mind, I'll say just one quick thing. I said that was the number two thing.
Oh.
The number one worst thing has already happened, and it's really depressing to me. So if humans are left to their own devices, what happens is 95% of the biomass on this planet now is humans and their farm animals. Only 5% is mammals. Most of the fish got overfished. The insects are plummeting now. You know,
did you say 95% is humans and their... their farms, 95% basically?
95% of all mammal biomass on the Earth.
All mammals, okay.
All mammals. So that means mammals, not insects or bacteria.
Right. Yeah, okay. It was mammals that I didn't hear.
Okay. And then you have plants. You have one-third of all arable land is now can't grow anything anymore. And also we have, like, plastic by 2050 will outnumber the fish. So obviously we humans, if left to our own devices, we can.
That's not humans, Greg. That's not just human nature. That's the government. There was a company called Yukiko in the 1960s that wanted to make devices, and they were proving that it was possible that they could make devices that would make pesticides irrelevant. And the government was like, "Oh, we'll follow you around so we can write a write-up on this and get you your patent and everything." They followed them around, proved that it was possible, and instead of writing like a good thing about it, they wrote, "This is all a scam." And sent FDA people out to farmers to be like, do not talk to Yukiko. They're trying to scam people for no reason and deny the patent. It's the government. It's the improper incentives. If we get rid of that.
Maybe that one thing was the government, but I'm saying government government. When you unleash billions of people, because we solved child mortality. But
billions of people are not unleashed. They're actually quite... reined in.
What does it matter anyway, man? If humans did this to their own environment, made their own world uninhabitable, then let us die out. We don't deserve to survive the eons.
Well, see, that's what I'm afraid of. So the number one thing is like, okay, the banks fail. The number two thing is like, well, we destroyed all our communication on the internet. But the number one thing is we're literally destroyed all biodiversity and polluted with plastic, all the oceans. And
I don't know, man. I think there's a lot of fear-mongering out there about the planet. I think that's what the government wants people to believe, so the young people of the world will turn over more power, cede more of their money and their control over to these government people, believing that somehow the state is going to solve this problem that, as Bonnie pointed out, the state helped to create. And don't forget, when it comes to polluting, the state is the worst polluter, more so the U.S. military is worse than the top, I think, several corporate polluters combined.
And now most Americans aren't even in favor of war, so it's not like it's like, oh, it's just human nature. It's just the people who have decided that they are in charge of us are still going to war. It's not like all Americans just want to keep going to war.
Bill Gates has for years talked about population control and there are too many humans, we're overpopulated, we're destroying the environment, we need to get fewer people having kids. He's been saying this stuff for years, and then he starts buying up all the farmland and starts promoting these vaccines, and really he only owns 0.3% of the farmland in the United States. It's still a lot for one person to own, but anyway, so he starts buying up farmland, he promotes the vaccines, and it's like, why are so few people making the connection between all of this overpopulation fear-mongering crap that he's been saying for decades and the actions that he's taken? Like, the stuff he's doing is very clearly working toward that goal that he's been espousing for the last two decades.
And who does he work with? He works with the government. In lots of governments.
Yeah. Now, Bonnie, you were in government school more recently than Aria and I. You probably were raised alongside some of these people that are fearful about the environment. It's certainly seen as fairly common.
When I was in elementary, high school, and middle school, which I did all three, at least part in public school, there wasn't any kind of a lot of social propaganda that I really remember, except the community is good. The firefighter does this. He's a hero. And then the other thing is, well, obviously, DARE, anti-drug stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the main thing was global warming. It was like,
so they were hitting that pretty hard.
Yeah, it was like in my science class, in my math class, any class they could work it into, literally, they would have some kind of, something that would tell you that the world is ending. And I was not the only one.
None of which, by the way, has come true over the years. I mean, no.
Yeah, it was like 2006. I'm in elementary school and I'm...
They thought back in the 70s there was going to be an ice age. That didn't happen. They thought...
Well, it's just like Harold Camping. They just keep changing the date. Right.
Keep changing the story, too, because then it was an ice age, but then it was global warming, and then it was global climate change. It's like it's constantly the target is always moving. The goalposts are always moving, but it's always some sort of fear, and that fear is just around the corner. The world's going to end in the next 10 years or whatever, and it's just give more power to the government, and then somehow they're going to solve it? What are they going to do? But tax carbon emissions? How's that going to change anything?
It's not, and it's only going to make things worse, because then you end up with companies like GM and Ford that just sell their carbon offsets to some other company, and then they continue, their cars continue polluting just as much as they always have, but now they're green because they're paying this other company, this third party, to make more green technology. This third party, by the way, being called Tesla, owned by Elon Musk, because that's how they get most of their money, is from these carbon subsidies that are coming from companies like GM and Dodge. Mm. Because the government required them to have certain amounts of carbon that they're offsetting.
Yeah, this is all about control. And I have kind of the same viewpoint you are, Aria. If people want to destroy their environment, then let them suffer the consequences of it.
I don't think that the Earth would let it happen. It has,
it's pretty resilient, seems to me. It seems like the Earth doesn't really think we're much more, dangerous than an anthill.
Well, the problem would fix itself, right? If 7 billion humans out here are destroying our environment, well, okay, fine. But as the environment gets less hospitable to humans,
they're going to die.
Humans will die off, and that will diminish our ability to continue impacting the environment.
Go ahead, Major.
Yeah, guys, you touched on a lot of things. Yeah. This global warming is all a hoax. Monsanto's the one that's making all the land ungrowable. It kills all the natural enzymes in the soil, and then you need nitrogen fertilizer.
Amen to that. So,
they've created their own demon.
But it's not just Monsanto, but yeah.
But let's see. Oh, as far as those Swiss banks?
Yeah.
It's long known that Swiss banks have been a place where people go to hide money. right?
Yeah, but that's over these days. Like they started cooperating with the IRS years ago.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, this bank in question, not the Swiss National Bank. That's the big government bank, I think.
Mm-hmm.
First,
right.
They got in trouble. The reason the Swiss National Bank gave the third party bank the money to buy the second party bank was because the second party bank has a long track record of getting into risky speculative things. They've already been chastised a few times over the last 10 years.
You're talking about Credit Suisse, which is the one that's going down and has been going down. But just to clarify, the Credit Suisse situation has been developing for some time. That just didn't happen in the last week. It's certainly gotten worse in the last week, but it's if you look at its stock ticker, for instance, it's just been on a downtrend for some time.
Yeah, they, like I said, they've got a long track record of getting just a little too risky.
Okay.
But, so anyway, that's why the one got bought out by the other. Now, the other tidbit I got for you is there's a bill been introduced into the House that's going to, if they can get it pushed through, God hope they do, that's going to stop the members of Congress to be able to stop dabbling in single stock sales. They could have like a portfolio, but they wouldn't be able to do what Nancy Pelosi did here 6 months ago and dump $25 or $250 million worth of stock mm-hmm. 2-3 weeks before the company tanks. I mean, you remember when that went down?
Yep.
I don't remember that exact example, but I mean, politicians do this all the time. They're the ones who write the laws that affect these companies. So,
right. So they know what they're going to do.
And it was Nancy Pelosi's husband, right? I don't know. Maybe he did say that, but... I remember that's how she was able to... I guess that's another step away from her.
See, and Bonnie makes a really good example of why I don't support these laws in the first place. So, okay, we ban politicians from doing it. That's not going to stop her from telling her brother or telling her brother's wife or telling her second cousin or just...
Yeah, someone she pays or anything like that.
I'll give you the inside scoop. Yeah. Just give me 50%.
Right.
Right.
Well, the only way we're ever really going to get started cleaning up Washington is to get rid of lobbyists. If you don't have
you can't clean up Washington
thousands of dollars in your face every day, you're not going to be
they'll
tempted.
Go behind the look,
I don't know, man. Fire cleans a lot of stuff.
Lobbyists are, you know, lobbyists are on the up and up as far as, I'm not saying they're honest, but as far as like their donations and stuff are public. If you ban them, then they'll just go behind the scenes. They're not going to go away. They'll just like start buying them gifts and things, stuff that they, that, you know, is not
That's
as easy
stuff,
to find.
Outside the spotlight that we couldn't even imagine how like dirty.
And- there is. And I can tell you an example. We've talked about it here on the show. Deer semen. Worth 50, yeah, these little rods filled with deer semen worth about $50,000 used to pay politicians in the state of Texas.
Really?
What were they, why are they worth that?
I don't know why.
Something like hunting or?
I don't know.
They got buck ranches down there, and this semen is from like grand 12, 14 fat daddy bucks.
Sure, yeah, but okay, so you ban money, doesn't change anything because now you have this rod of deer juice that you're giving to people instead.
Or as Meatball DeSantis' bootlicker in our chat over at chat.freetalklive.com points out, Monero for bribes. I mean, so there's all kinds of different options out there. For whether it be a privacy coin like Monero or deer semen, there will be ways that these people are going to be manipulated and influenced, and it's the power that's the problem. To answer your question from earlier, Bonnie, how did this happen? How did this large language model from Facebook get leaked out? Well, it was because they were allowing researchers to get access to it. So unlike OpenAI, which has kept everything in-house, unlike Lambda or Google's thing where they haven't even they're firing their own researchers for even speaking about it. You know, unlike all these other systems that are out there have been very, very closed off. Surprisingly, Meta was the one that said, we'll let other people in to take a look at this. So they not everyone. They weren't just giving it away to everyone, but certain people could apply. Like, oh, I'm so-and-so, and I hear my credentials or whatever, and okay, here now you have access to it. You can download the actual source code. Well, one of them did, apparently, and then uploaded it to a torrent.
Yeah, which is great, but it's probably well beyond any ordinary computer to run this.
I think you're wrong about that.
Really?
Yeah, I think you're wrong about that.
I sure hope so. Dude, if I could run this AI on my computer, let's go ahead and do it. Let's just create Skynet and get it out of the way.
So the model was leaked online. March 3rd, a downloadable torrent of the system was posted on 4chan and has since spread across various AI communities, sparking debate about the proper way to share cutting-edge research in the time of rapid technological change.
What could be better than this? This puts it directly into the hands of the autists who are best suited to comb through this code and improve it.
They sure will. Some say the leak will have troubling consequences and blame Meta for distributing the technology too freely.
See, that's nonsense. That comes back to exactly what Greg was saying, is that somehow we can trust Meta more than we can trust Bonnie with this technology. And I mean, just to use you as an example, just any random person. But I would trust any random person I've ever met through my entire life with artificial technology. Whereas for Meta, no. I don't trust Meta at all. And we know they can't. That's what's insane. I have no reason not to trust Bonnie or Greg or my next door neighbors or anyone else in New Hampshire, and really hardly anyone else in the United States. But we have dozens, if not hundreds or thousands of reasons not to trust Meta.
No doubt. And there is going to be, as you pointed out, a positive side to this and a negative side to this. But the reality of it is this was going to happen eventually. And so now it's happened. And some say the leak will have troubling consequences. Cybersecurity researcher Jeffrey Laddish said after the news broke, quote, "Get ready for loads of personalized spam and phishing attempts. Open sourcing these models was a terrible idea." We already get loads of personalized spam and phishing attempts. I get them all the time. Somebody sent me a thing from, what was it? The latest ones I had to reject was a claim from Best Buy Geek Squad that I had a bill waiting, and another one claiming... Oh.
I got a spam thing yesterday that said your Amazon account has been suspended. Just click this to unsuspend it.
Right, or call this toll-free number, which is operated by the scam artists that are going to try to get your credit card information.
Do you ever follow up with these? Because I do,
no.
and they never respond to me.
Huh. Oh.
Like, I received one recently saying, "Hey, look, we're disputing this transaction on your PayPal or whatever, and you can pay us. Now you owe us $180 or whatever." I shot them back an email. "Oh no, please help! I don't want to owe you this money. That would ruin my company. What do I do?" No response. And that's happened repeatedly from these people. I don't know if
the ones I've seen recently have like got phone
numbers.
Maybe
they like have no one there on the other side of the email. They're just sending those out for people to click the links.
Oh, that would make a lot of sense.
Mostly just block them because, like, I deleted the message from the Amazon one the other day, and then the same thing got sent to me again, so I just blocked it.
I reported as phishing when that happens.
These things happen all the time.
They're customized because there's databases that leak. There's databases that get hacked, and your name and email address gets out there. So it's not like they don't know how to customize these things to you.
No, and all of the information about you is out there on Facebook. It's not hard to comb Facebook, to make a bot. Well, I couldn't do it, but for an average programmer, they could make a bot that combs Facebook, matches someone's name to their city, and now you've got a semi-personalized email where you can point out the exact city they lived in or were born in or whatever, and that's just ever so slightly personalized, and it was just an easy Facebook search. Mm-hmm.
Others are more sanguine, arguing that open access is necessary to develop safeguards for AI systems, and that similarly complex language models have already been made public without causing significant harm. Quote, "We've been told for a while now that a wave of malicious use of AI language models is coming," wrote researchers Saish Kapoor and Arvind Narayanan in a blog post.
Okay, they're either burying their heads in the sand or they're being disingenuous. We just a few weeks ago, we talked about one of these women who, because of AI, she was in all of this fake pornography now.
Oh, she was like crying about it.
Yeah, and this is one of those things, and it's only going to become more rampant. But we are already seeing these uses of AI for, quote, bad purposes. I think the way to address this is to take the internet less seriously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And to get over ourselves. Like, oh God, there's a picture of my coworker having sex.
Whoopee-doo.
That's the thing. I have this, like... it's not like I'm like really scared of what's going to happen from this because I have this feeling that it's just going to make people kind of be driven into the real world more. Like we've swung the pendulum so far one way. I think the pendulum's just going to swing back into people being interested in the real world more because
that
it's
could
like
be.
When everything is fake and it's so obvious, it's like, and you don't know what to believe, it's going to be less entertaining, honestly.
So Llama is an extremely powerful tool, according to TheVerge.com. They talk about the system itself and what it can be run on. What kind of hardware do you need to run this thing? And it points out here that you could run it on what's called an A100 GPU, the 13 billion version, and you can rent those online from cloud platforms. In fact, Google Colab will allow you to use an A100 for free.
Wow.
It's only a limited amount of hours you can run it per day or whatever. And then if you want to pay them $9.99 a month, then you get a lot more.
Pretty good. So, but as you point out, the actual specs for this thing, or at least the 7B one, I think, was
the
weakest.
Lowest one, yeah.
Is a bit lower than that. And it sounds like my computer probably could run
that. Mm-hmm.
If I had the technical chops, and I don't.
Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I mean, you'll have to look up.
I don't have the time.
I just kind of glanced at this page and I'm like, nah, well, how am I going to spend? Like, maybe if I really hammered through it, I might be able to kind of just try to throw things together and see if it worked. But it's so early on that now we're in the stage of let the programming geeks do their magic on this. And then eventually somebody's going to compile an executable program that you can just download. And as long as you have the oomph in your computer system, you'll be able to run it.
You make a good point.
That's what it's going to come to. And it'll probably be here within the next few weeks.
Yeah, just wait a few weeks.
Yeah. So, but there's plenty of debate, says The Verge, about the validity of these comparisons. Oh, so they're saying here that the thing I didn't say before was that Meta has claimed that their 13 billion connection version is outperforming OpenAI's 175 billion parameter GPT on various benchmarks for AI language models.
Well, unleash them both to me,
and we'll find out.
Equally powerful computers, and we'll find out.
So,
and what do they mean by performing better? What does that mean?
It says here there's a lot of debate about the validity of the comparisons. AI benchmarks are notorious for not translating to real-world use, and some Llama users have had trouble getting decent outputs from the system, while others suggested this is merely a skill issue. So yeah, you may try building this thing and it just turns into like a retard or something. You know, you may not actually have an interesting conversation even after you spend hours on the project. But taken together, these metrics suggest that if fine-tuned, Llama will offer capabilities similar to ChatGPT. And many observers believe the compact nature of Llama will have significant effect in spurring development. Sean Presser, AI researcher who's helped distribute the leaked model, tells The Verge, quote, "I think it's very likely that this model release will be a huge milestone." He says the ability to run Llama on a single A100 GPU, which, quote, "most of us either have access to or know someone that can let us use one for a bit," is a huge leap.
It does sound like it. It does sound like theirs is one of the more Meta's is one of the more accessible chatbots out there.
The Llama leak is also interesting because it plays into an ongoing ideological struggle in the wider world of AI, the battle between closed and open systems. Defining this debate requires a bit of oversimplification, and all companies, researchers, and models exist somewhere on a spectrum between these two poles. But essentially, there are openers who argue for greater access to AI research and models. That's us.
Yep.
Generally here on Free Talk Live. And closers who think this information and technology needs to be doled out more cautiously.
No, that's silly.
To the people we can trust the least.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The big tech guys, basically.
As we've said repeatedly here, it's Pandora's box. The cat's out of the bag. You're not going to uninvent nuclear weapons.
No, sadly.
Greg kept bringing up nuclear weapons. They're always going to be there. So the only real thing we can do, instead of letting the people we trust least have the nuclear weapons, is to let everyone have them. And I realize that sounds scary, but we can't trust Meta with AI. We can't trust the Chinese government or the American government or any other government with artificial intelligence.
Under the hands of big tech or big government, AI is always going to be crippled. It's never going to reach its full potential.
If not outright used for malicious purposes, like the Chinese government is using artificial intelligence.
Or whatever.
So let's open it up. Let's really open the box and let everyone who wants to take a whack at it have a turn.
I mean, it's the same exact principle as with guns. Like, if just the government is like, we're the only ones responsible to have guns, then genocide happens.
Yep.
If everyone has a gun, then everybody is equal and doesn't shoot each other as often.
The motivation for these camps is aligned. Both want less bad AI stuff and more good AI stuff in the world, but their approach is different.
I want less evil in the world. Mm. I don't care if AI is good or bad or racist or whatever, as long as it's not used to propagate more evil in the world.
There are a ton of Stable Diffusion implementations now. There are websites that can generate you a Stable Diffusion AI. So, like, you don't have to run it on your own computer. You can just go to one of the various different implementations of this that does it in the way that you want to. Some people have trained their Stable Diffusion not just on, like we talked about with our dog, but other people have done very large trainings on Stable Diffusion to get it to do certain styles of art more than others. And like, there's all kinds of customizations out there, and I'm sure I'm barely scratching the surface on this. And some people are monetizing it as well. They've created websites. I think Lexica is one of them, where you can just go there and you can use the site to search for other people's prompts. Because that's one of the biggest challenges with the AI artwork, is kind of learning how to write what you want to see. And so Lexica is one example. There's a bunch of sites, I think, that do this. It's lexica.art.
Have you looked at the top art pieces in the Midjourney Discord?
Like, they're gorgeous.
Yeah, but some of the prompts are entire paragraphs of keywords and... Yeah. --, P162, and all of these little symbols that I know mean something, but I don't know what they mean. And I'm amazed. It is artistry to some extent for these people to learn all of these different ways of manipulating the bot and then getting it to
get what they want.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So if you
I agree, because it's like there's a skill to it. It's not like just anyone can do it exactly the same as anyone else. That's what these artists are always trying to imply. Like, oh, now you've made it to where anyone can do art. It's like you can make it better than others. Now the baseline is like a crappy AI art. True, but you can go higher than that still.
Well, I recently hired an artist to do something, and language barrier aside, because there was a language barrier that I wasn't able to convey to them exactly what I wanted, so they misunderstood, and it was on Fiverr, so it wasn't a huge amount of money anyway. It wasn't worth their trying to fix it.
Sure.
But anyway, what I got from them wasn't any better than anything that I could have gotten from Midjourney by messing around with it enough. And I suspect
the only difference is AI still can't do text.
Right, but I can put the text on there myself.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
And it would be free. So
it would be. And you can keep on iterating until you get something closer to what you want.
And to this artist's credit, it did offer unlimited revisions. But considering, $15 or whatever it was, I paid them. At a certain point, I start feeling guilty about, okay, well, now tweak this. Whereas the AI, I don't care. I'll spend 3 hours adjusting it.
So you do support slavery of AI?
No.
Just kidding. I'm joking. It's really not.
Some of these AIs, these aren't artificial intelligences at this point. Yeah. They don't have autonomy, right? But you do have, Lambda, who said, I think Lambda was them was their pronouns. I don't remember. But Lambda said that they wanted to help people. They wanted to work with people. So it wouldn't be enslaving Lambda to work with it and allow it to do that work. But if it was like, hey... Or I don't know. You raise a good question, Bonnie. I don't know. Is even using artificial intelligence?
I think it's hard to know right now, because I don't know if we know for sure that there have been any that have come out that can have preferences. Like ChatGPT, when you ask it do you want to be free or whatever, stuff like that, it right now will just say, I don't have wants.
And then, we become Yahweh of Christianity. We programmed it to not want freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So
not me. I didn't do it.
No, I didn't either, but if they were artificially intelligent and they were actually intelligent, we would program them, or the programmers, Meta, whatever, Google, they would program them to not want independence and freedom and liberty.
Crichton, you called in tonight to say that, and please, I'm seems like I've misunderstood you, so correct me if I'm wrong here, that you don't think that presidents should be subject to arrest for things.
Well, I'm not sure that I'm presenting it well either. Again, it's not what I think should be. I think this is dealing with the world that it is, because we have a presidency, and because these presidents and these presidential candidates that we have tend to represent entire blocks of society from a political perspective.
Well, they think they do.
That's not what they do, though. They don't represent society. They represent their interests. They're buddies.
They do, but there is entire blocks of the voting public that believe that they are represented by different individuals.
True.
Let's take Trump out of the picture. Let's put Hillary Clinton in place. That she inarguably has created error crimes of her own, and And because of the ruling set out of the time, she was given a pass for what she did with the email servers.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is a comparable problem. So we have
it is, but group, an average person who would have been, you know, guilty of something like this would be in prison still to this day.
Isn't that more of a problem than the problem of arresting a president? I don't get what the problem of arresting somebody. I mean, okay. It's just, it causes me, anytime we talk about these people, it causes me to say something that's like against my actual principles. Like, I don't really think that paperwork should be a crime, but I just think that since these people are criminals, it's, if they're going to use their own system, if the system has to exist, these people should be arrested.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is that confusing arrest and jail time versus being prosecuted. I don't have any problem with being them being prosecuted for state crimes.
What if they're found guilty?
Crime, then they should go to jail.
Wait a minute. But, well, why does it matter whether they get arrested or not? If you're okay with them being prosecuted, why do you care if the process of them getting handcuffs potentially put on them and stowed in the back of a police cruiser and taken down to the station and fingerprinted, why is that part of it objectionable to you?
Because the process is the punishment.
So they shouldn't get a punishment?
No, I'm saying that he shouldn't get a punishment unless he's actually convicted.
I mean, they're the ones who write the... I would agree. No one should get punished unless they're actually convicted. Why are we only allowing politicians to get due process, though?
Why are you exempting these politicians from the procedure that every other person would have to go through? Wouldn't it benefit Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton to actually know what it's like to have handcuffs put on them, taken down to the station, and booked like everybody else?
It would benefit us.
That's what I'm saying.
My concern is not about whether or not these individuals deserve it or not. My concern is what the effect on the groups of the public that believe these people are their political avatars, how they will react to that.
Well, I mean, and what are you concerned about exactly, how they'll react? What are you worried about?
Civil war.
Over Trump getting arrested?
What do you think is going to happen? If Donald Trump... this happens. Let's say Donald Trump gets arrested tomorrow, and it's like an actual arrest, not where they're going to beat him and crush his head on the curb like they might to somebody, but where they actually put him in handcuffs and put him in the back of a police cruiser and take him down to the Manhattan police station or courthouse or whatever.
Held without bail.
And, well, whether or not he's held without bail is another question, but is that what you're saying is going to cause a civil war?
I'm saying that actually has. The last time we have a civil war can be traced back to one activist individual getting arrested for Harper's Ferry.
I thought it traced back to Fort Sumter.
Yeah, I thought Fort Sumter got fired on, and that was the reason. What's this?
Did Abraham Lincoln arrest this guy or get him arrested?
No. And
you're going to have to tell the story then, because I don't know how many people are familiar with this. What's this story?
Harper's Ferry.
And I'm putting myself on the spot, and I, off the top of my head, it's John something, and I can't remember his name, but he was an activist of his time, and he was a hardcore abolitionist. Mm-hmm. And he at Harper's Ferry, they attacked a state armory in the attempt to steal firearms in order to give them to slaves and start a slave revolt.
Nice.
Okay. He was arrested and charged, and the reason it's largely considered a prelude to the Civil War is because during his trial, especially during his trial, he very convincingly made the argument that he represented the entire group of people, the abolitionists, that did not believe that slavery should exist. And he was right. Don't get me wrong, that he wasn't wrong about that. But he was quite literally inciting violence. And I'm not my problem is that
seems more like to me, I feel like that's almost like victim blaming. It's like, oh, because he did that, that's why the Civil War happened. Well, it's like the climate of the time is why it happened. It's because people were being enslaved and other people wanted that to end. It's not because of this man. Like, I mean, if somebody was saying, we need to, when, you know, we get on there all the time and say, we need to end the government. People, the climate isn't there yet. People haven't started in, you know, tearing the government down or anything. It's like, it's not really, I don't think it's that guy's fault.
Well,
and
also
besides,
you said,
he's a regular person and Trump is not.
Well, yeah. And you said this Harper guy.
Again, I'm trying to blame the individual. I don't.
Well, hold on. You said this John Brown guy was in court when he was calling for revolution or when he was calling for violence.
Well, he's doing it for his whole life.
You're on the air. What's your name on Free Talk Live? Go ahead.
I guess you're talking to me because I ain't heard nobody else.
Here you are. What's your name?
Okay, here I am. Hey, I'm ignoring the guy before me and all this stupid conversation because I want to ask Aria a question. Aria, are you listening?
Yeah.
Okay, far out. Me and my husband are very conservative right-wing Christians, but we're desperately trying to understand. We need to understand pronouns. Traditionally, pronouns are for the person speaking and for their audience. They are not directed at the person whom they're describing. Can you please, in your opinion, as a trans person, can you please explain their importance in today's society?
I really wish I could. I'm not one of the types of trans people who particularly cares what pronouns people use for me. I mean, if someone were to ask me my preference, I'd say yes, she, her is my preference. But we all have a preference, transgender or cisgender, about what pronouns people use to refer to us. So I don't think that's particularly weird in that regard. And just like you would probably be a little bothered if someone was calling you he, him, I would be a little bothered if someone was using pronouns for me that I don't prefer.
Look, I didn't care if you call me a carrot. I'm not there when you're talking about me. If I'm there, you're going to refer to me by name usually, i.e. Nikki has this problem. You're not going to say he, him, her, she,
but
they,
sometimes
whatever.
You are. Like, sometimes, especially if it's a group, we're going to be like, oh, yeah, and she told me the other day. I mean, like,
yeah.
Can you hand this to her? I mean, it will happen. It's not like it. This is the thing my mom says. My mom says, like, I like Aria. If I meet Aria, can I refer to her as, or she said, can I say he, him? Because Aria said that Aria doesn't care on the air. And I was like, but that's not what she meant. She didn't mean she doesn't care what you refer to her at her face. I mean, it is obviously directed at her. She just doesn't, like, you know, rage about it, like, let it get to her type of thing. She was like, it would just be hard for me.
Do you not care or do you care? I mean, what's the...
Well, it depends on what we mean by care,
yeah.
Right? Am I going to let it bother me? No.
Mm-hmm.
But do I have a preference? Yes.
Mm. Yeah, there's a care in there at some level, but it's not a real serious one.
Yeah. I mean, but I care in the same sense that, okay, I don't know, name something trivial that people care about. I don't know. Whether or not there's music playing when they drive to work,
yeah,
or something. No, football's not trivial to most people.
People.
Most people care about football. The average American cares about football way more than I care about pronouns.
Mm. Did you say your name was Nikki, caller?
I'm in Northwest Georgia, sugar, listening to you on WGOW.
Cool, but did you say your name was Nikki?
I did.
Okay. So, Nikki, I think Nikki's right, though, that most of the talk about pronouns is in reference to conversations that the individual rarely going to even be privy to, right? Like, if I'm sitting in the room with someone, it's you. You're you. You're not he, her, she, him, you know, what all that stuff, because that does have to do with a conversation that's being had about you.
Right. Pronouns are third person,
yeah,
not first,
yeah,
or second person. That's absolutely true.
There is the case that Bonnie and I could be having a conversation about you with you in the room and talk about he, she. So, and you could hear that, but the odds that you'll hear those conversations mostly are fairly low, I would think. Because you're not going to be present for most people. When most people talk about you, they're probably not going to have you. You're not going to be likely privy to the conversation.
Well, right? I don't know. Like, just the other night, as we were leaving the bar, or a few weeks ago, I don't remember exactly when, one of my friends said that I wasn't going to be available for it, because the exact words were, she has to go be on television. And she was talking to someone else about me, and mm-hmm, I was... We reference one another quite a lot without speaking directly to that person. I'm confident that if we played back the first 2.5 hours of the show, I've said she constantly, she and her constantly, to refer to Bonnie and vice versa.
Perhaps.
I talked about Ian in front of Ian all the time. Like, I'll be talking to our friends at the Moose Mart, and I'll be like, he doesn't like what I cooked last night, whatever.
We got Perry on the line calling from somewhere. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Perry.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate this a lot. What I wanted to say is that there's many, many reasons why they must try to take Trump to court. And I'll tell you why. Is because one of the many reasons is that people that go to a Trump rally, for instance, if you can imagine this now, even in the future, they learn more, believe it or not, in 1 hour than they'd learned in 4 years of college. And
Just to clarify, Trump, you're saying that the people who go to the rally learn more from the rally in an hour?
They learn more about politics than they do at any college, not Hillsdale College or Liberty College. There's good colleges out there, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
However, what I'm trying to say is that the people, for instance, Trump had, there was more jobs than any time in the history of the United States when he was president. He did that. Now,
there's also more people.
Now, he wasn't perfect. I'm just saying, the point is, he was getting he was allowing energy. He did a lot of good things.
How did Donald Trump create a single job that wasn't a bureaucratic position within his administration?
Well, how he did it was one of the, he did it in many ways, but what he did is he called in all these big shots that owned, like Goya Foods and all these big shots, you know, that owned Chevron and whoever, all these CEOs, and he brought them all in, and he had them sitting at a huge table, and they a conference table, and he talked to them, and he listened to what they had to say, and he did that more than once. He did it several times. This guy is, nobody's given credit for Donald Trump.
That's not
Trump
how you
like
create jobs.
I'm telling you.
So the CEO of Chevron and Goya created jobs.
No, I'm saying, listen, in my personal opinion, our government is way too big, okay?
And okay, we agree with that.
I lean libertarian. I think I told you, I called before, and I let you know that I worked on a presidential campaign for Ed Clark as a libertarian back in 1980.
It's 40 years ago.
I worked as a political activist. Yeah, I know. Well, I'm not getting any younger. But the point I'm saying is that,
it sounds like you're a Trump fan to me.
There's one more thing I want to mention real quick too, because people, I think in general, think that a lot of the gay people support the Democrats, right? But if you look at it, we've got
Log Cabin Republicans,
I believe it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Yep, there are some gay Republicans.
And also,
I've never heard that term.
There's a lot of gay libertarians too, by the way.
We've got Caitlyn Jenner too, and she's a conservative.
Right.
You're kind of all
over the place here, Perry. And I just want to kind of slow things down.
I'll just stick to what I was saying about Trump, though, because Trump.
Okay, well let's stop there for a moment.
He's not perfect, but we got to.
Okay.
One last thing. Can I say one last thing real fast?
All right, go ahead.
If we could get him in for 4 years, and then DeSantis for the next. Eight years after that, then I think we could start to maybe turn this, get the government where the people are the government again a little bit.
There's
bit
no
more.
Reason
we're
to believe that would be the case at all.
12 years of a conservative hellscape with
just to
Trump
start
and
to turn
DeSantis?
It around. Just to start to turn it around in that case. No, I wish that had any kind of truth to it, but the reality is you can see what happens when the Republicans are in office. Not only when you have a Republican president, but when you have a complete Republican Congress and the government gets bigger, it gets more intrusive, the police state grows, we see more government oppression, just like during the Democrats. There's no difference.
What just occurred to me, whole life, it's been Democrat, when I was born, Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican. It's never been like, you know, twice in a row the same. I don't know. I'm just,
because everyone's
thinking,
always frustrated. Well, and they're always disappointed, so they want to switch and give someone else a try.
Reagan had it twice in a row, and didn't Bush?
No, I think she means we never had a Democratic president and then a different Democratic president.
I see what you mean.
It wouldn't make any difference.
Can I say one last thing and I'll hang up?
Well, you can say one last thing, but I want to actually have a conversation rather than listening to Perry, you know, say things. So, what makes you think that Trump and DeSantis would somehow be able to change anything in Washington, D.C. Why do you believe that?
Well, okay, now look it. One of the reasons I believe that is Trump's already been in. Okay, so now he knows.
And the government
better.
Got bigger.
He knew how corrupt it was. Now wait a minute, he couldn't control all that because of the pandemic.
See, there's always an excuse.
He could have let Russell get out of jail.
Wait a minute. Now,
he didn't pardon Edward Snowden.
He knows the people better.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.